I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
And welcome back to Comic Book Nation's Quick Save, our somewhat weekly episodic series here where we talk all about video games as part of Comic Book Nation. I am your host, Logan Moore. Joining me for this episode is Matt Aguilar. Matt, hi. Good to have you here on your own show that is that I host, which is so weird to me every time we do this, but you know, it is what it is. Also here is Ricky Freck. Ricky, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm okay. How are you doing? We're both rocking the backwards hats, but Matt was left out of the loop, I guess.
Yeah, well, when you're balding, you're always rocking a backwards hat, so.
You know, this has become more true for me here as I near my 30s, and I'm not a huge fan of it, so we'll see what happens once I hit the mid-30s. I might just have to shave it all off. This show is not about my receding hairline, though. This show is about all the happenings in the video game space, and there's not a whole lot going on right now. We didn't have an episode last week, and this week there honestly hasn't been too much going on with the video game industry either, but we have something tangential to the video game industry, which is a new TV show for Fallout. We're going to do what I'm calling here kind of a hype check for the Fallout TV show with this episode, which coincides with a new trailer that dropped this morning. This trailer was our most extensive look that we have had so far at the Fallout TV series. I think a teaser trailer of some sort released a couple months back, I think at the like Brazil Comic Con or something like that. But with the show now about a month out from its release, we got a new trailer this morning that was about 2 or 3 minutes in length. I mean, let's just start with that out of the gate. Like, what, I mean, Matt, we'll go to you first. Like, what did you happen to think about this new trailer for Fallout here? Are you getting excited for this show? And I guess, I mean, both of you, when you chime in, like, what's your own personal history with the Fallout series here?
Yeah, for sure. I have kind of a like spotty history with Fallout. Like, I check in with some games and then others I've completely missed along the way. So I love the general aesthetic and the, you know, like the tone of the games and, you know, all the, you know, Vault Boy stuff, like all of that, everything that's kind of tied into the world and stuff, I love. And so I I've been kind of looking for, I've been interested to see if this series can nail that tone, because it is something that is so super specific to the games. And if you don't nail that, then, you know, like, it's going to be hard to make people invest in some of the other things, right? And so I thought, from a trailer perspective, I mean, I thought they did a fantastic job of nailing that vibe and tone. It feels like Fallout. It feels like an extension of that world. You know, I know we'll get into kind of specifics on, like, approach to story and things like that, but later on. But, you know, I am glad that, like, I'm going to have some new characters here to kind of tie into, because I'm not, like, I haven't played every single game. I don't know every single kind of, you know, shred of lore and things. So I am glad, like, for people like me, or for people who are just completely new to the franchise, it's kind of a nice entryway. At least it seems that way anyway. It looks pretty damn good too, as far as, like, production value goes. I mean, it looks like they spent some money.
Jeff Bezos opened up his wallet for this one. It definitely looks like.
Yeah, like, he's no stranger to that, right? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it'll be good. So I'm hoping for that, because, you know, I had issues with, like, the Lord of the Rings. Like, there's no expense not spared on that one, and I didn't, like, love it as much as I wanted to. So, like, we'll see how that goes. But for a first impression, or, you know, technically second impression, right? I think it was good for me. Ricky, what?
I'm very glad to finally see Baby Billy's Bible Bunkers in real life, or not in real life, but on the screen. That's exciting. But no, I've been playing Fallout pretty much since the beginning. Like, I noticed while you were talking in this trailer that there's a sign for Shady Sands Public Library, which is a location from the first game. So I was like, I recognize this name. Where do I recognize it from? I looked it up real quick, and it is from the first game. So Walton Groggins. I always call him Walter, so I had to stop for a second, make sure I said it right.
People were doing that in the office yesterday too. We were talking about this series, and people were like, "I love Walter Goggins."
And somebody
said, "Well, apparently you don't love him that much because you don't know his name."
I watched, like, so. I don't know, three seasons of what's it called, of The Righteous Gemstones before I realized I was calling him a wrong name.
So
I'm very excited at least to see him on my screen some more. And I'm a big Fallout fan. I think that the most recent Fallout game is not very good. I don't like Fallout 4 very much. I'm Fallout.
Okay. I didn't know if you were talking about 76 or 4. I was like, well, 76. Yeah.
I'm a Fallout fan who has not played Fallout 76. So
you and me both.
But yeah, I played them all and liked them all until that one. So I'm excited to see, you know, what they do with it. And it looks, you know, it's got some good people in it, so that's exciting.
I mean, the thing that I was going to touch on was the same thing you sort of mentioned, Matt, which is the tone. Like, Fallout is a lot of different things at once in terms of its tone. It's extremely dark, but there's also a ton of comedy and levity to it. And then there's this vibe of, like, the 40s or 50s or 30s, whatever it is. Like, there's this, like, old-timey futuristic tone or vibe to the whole series, but then it's set in this really dark post-apocalyptic world, but it's also super funny. And it looks like they're trying to find a way to fit all those pieces together in a way that makes sense, you know? And it looks like, I think her name's Lucy, the main character, is obviously going to be, like, the viewer's proxy into this world, and just, and I think we'll get into the story stuff here. And this is one of the things I wanted to talk about, is just the story stuff is one thing that's really not gripping me here too much. I think Walton Goggins' character looks the most interesting, because obviously he was around prior to the bombs dropping, and then he's a ghoul in the post-apocalyptic wasteland here where the series is set. And I think that's a cool idea that they can definitely play around with. But more than anything, I'm really just hoping that, and it's such a hard thing when you adapt a video game series into a TV show, because you have to on-ramp the people that aren't familiar with this world. So, like, for all of us, like, we've played the Fallout games. We know a lot about, maybe more me and Ricky, I guess, in this sense, like you were saying, Matt. Like, we know a lot about the lore. We know a lot about the world. We just kind of are ready to jump right in. And you can tell they're not going to do that, and they're going to have to set up a bunch of this stuff. Like, what are the vaults? Why is this world? Like, why is there a guy who's a ghoul here? Like, why is everything mutated? Like, they're going to have to explain all this, all the tech, all the like inner machinations of this world. And that's the stuff that, you know, a lot of people like myself are already familiar with. And clearly Ella Purnell's character is going to be the sort of way that they introduce those concepts, because she's going to be just as unfamiliar with the outside world as new viewers who haven't seen this series before. And I hope that that part of the show kind of goes quickly, like maybe with, I think the season is the first season here, they haven't greenlit a second season. So I guess just all they've got so far is 8 episodes. I'm hoping by episode 4 or 5, some of those, like, let's teach this main protagonist about the world stuff starts to kind of fall away. And then it's just about the story they've set up from there. And then, and they can really take that and run with it. Yeah, because I still, both of the trailers they have released are great tone pieces, but I'm not sold on much else outside of that just yet. But I also don't think they've really tried to lean in and tell too much of the story just yet.
Yeah.
True.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on like what you want from this in terms of story or anything like that, or if you have any like concerns or fears. Like I wrote here in our doc, like, do we think this is going to be in the very huge pile of terrible video game adaptations, or is this going to sit alongside something like The Last of Us here, which The Last of Us is totally different too, because that directly adapted almost to a T the video game. And this is doing something drastically different where they're just like, let's do our own thing in this world.
Well, and I think you kind of have to a degree, because like part of adapting Last of Us is you're adapting a linear story. It has beats. If you with something like this, part of the Fallout games and just Bethesda games in general is this whole thing of you creating your own narrative within the world. So yes, a lot of people, you know, there's that running thing of like, well, do I go save my daughter, or do I go save the thing, or do I, you know, go collect some more stuff to craft and go find some books and whatever. Like that's the running gag in those games, because you end up, you know, getting distracted and doing all those things, but that's part of the experience. And especially in Bethesda games, they've, you know, leaned into that, right? It's kind of the adventure is what you make it. Yes, there's this main story, but you know, that's part of it. And also people have their own favorite, you guys have mentioned, like everyone has their own favorite Fallout story. So if you adapt one straight up, you're going to leave a bunch of people pissed too, because it's not their favorite. It's hard, right? It's a tricky thing. So I think while The Last of Us, it doesn't matter. You know what you're getting. So if you didn't like the game, you're not going to like the show. You know what I mean? It's a different kind of beast. So I think the going this way, just kind of creating their own tale, mitigates some of that flack. You're still going to get some regardless, because that's what media is today.
Yeah.
You get flack regardless of whether you do something completely authentic or not. So, you know, because I mean, I remember having the debates on Last of Us of like, well, it's not taking any risks and it's following everything beat by beat. And I already know the whole story. It's like you can't win either way in that respect. So I kind of all for an original story. You know, find ways to integrate all of the things and elements and landmarks that people know. But do it in your own way that you feel, you know, presents them in the best fashion.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I was going to, like, they've got plenty of iconography in here. They've got, like, a Super Duper Mart is in this. They've got the location that Ricky mentioned. What is it? Sandy Shores or
Shady Sands.
Yeah, like they've got stuff from the video games that people will point to and be like, oh, I know that, but they're not directly adapting any single story. And specifically for Fallout, I will say, I mean, maybe New Vegas is like the only example of this where people don't feel this way, but I feel like generally speaking, most people don't care for the through line stories of most of the Fallout games. Like, it's like all of the great writing and all of the great like characters that you run into are like off the beaten path and are like just scattered throughout the world, little side missions that you'll run across or things like that.
Yeah, definitely in the more modern ones, in the Bethesda ones, that's true.
Yes, for sure. The original games, maybe not as much, but obviously since they've gone to this vast open world gameplay styling with 3 New Vegas and 4, I guess 76. 76 hardly even counts. There wasn't even NPCs in that game for the longest time. That's its own thing. But yeah, I mean, I'm liking this. I think the other big question here is that they revealed at the end of the trailer that they're going to drop all the episodes at once, which is something I'm surprised that Amazon is doing. And I don't know if this will be a big deal one way or another with this show, but I really saw them trying to like do weekly releases with this and try to kind of build up hype and excitement over time. And instead they're just going to mass dump all of them at once. Do you guys think that's the right decision? Like, how do you like to consume your shows nowadays? Like, I have really enjoyed sort of going back to the weekly release format, which is maybe funny to say because we get screeners for things here and there. Like, I'm about to probably mass blitz through Invincible Part 2 later tonight, and I will love doing that. But I don't know. Do you guys have any sort of preference? And do you think this is like the right move to add all 8 of these episodes to Prime Video a single time?
I don't know about the right move, but it's the right move for Ricky, because that's how I like to watch TV.
Do you have any thoughts one way or the other, Matt?
You know, I agree wholeheartedly with Ricky. I think I have always defended the binge model of things. I like having the choice. I don't always do it though, which is what I always tell people, of like, you don't have to actually watch them all at once. You can space them out. It's just there if you do. And for the last couple releases, Amazon did weekly, yeah, right? Because like Lord of the Rings,
The Boys was weekly. I know Citadel, season 3 of The Boys was weekly.
Yeah, like they've done a lot of weekly stuff. Other than The Boys, I don't think any of those really generated the discussion that like kept them in the,
I feel like,
the zeitgeist or whatever.
I saw Gen V getting some hype over time for sure. I remember that one, like when it first came out, people were like, I don't know how I feel about this. And then by the time it hit like episode 6 or 7, I felt like the conversation on it had like totally turned and people were like really, really into it.
Anything The Boys related, I totally support. Like that one can hold because it has the built-in fan base. But everything else, I think they've kind of tried and like, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily worked. I'm especially if the first couple episodes are trying to like establish the world and set the tone and do all these things, I think it might be really good to have a couple episodes up front. I'm surprised they didn't do that. I'm surprised they didn't do
Yeah.
Like a
yeah. That's what I thought. That's what I thought they were going to do, honestly. And,
so. The traitors play.
Yeah. I tend to think that's kind of the best like compromise, but I'm okay.
I guess not to get too in the weeds with this, but like, when I first saw that, it did make me a little bit worried because I remember they did the same thing with, what was it? Was it Echo that they dropped all the episodes at once? And when Marvel did that, I was like, that's a little bit of a concern to me because they have straight up never done that. So like, but Amazon goes back and forth, you know, sure. So it just depends on the series. And I don't know how they determine those things behind the scenes. But if this comes out, so this is releasing April 11th. If this comes out, I imagine a lot of people will be watching this. This will be a big thing for them, even if it's, if it doesn't turn out great, I imagine this will still get a lot of viewership. Are you guys thinking, I know the showrunners have already said that they've got ideas for future seasons. Just generally speaking, you guys think this ends up getting picked up for season 2, 3 and beyond eventually?
I hope so. Well, if it's good. I mean, I hope so because I want Walton Goggins to get more work. So that's all I'm here for.
I just want to see the new California Republic,
yeah,
personally. And it seems like they're honing in on the Brotherhood of Steel right here. It's like, okay. Maybe if we stick around in this
I think it at least gets a season 2.
I mean, there's too much. I feel like there's too much money that has been invested already for them not to do a season 2.
Yeah.
Like just getting the license and getting everything lined up with the just the production values and all that stuff. A lot of that stuff I imagine can carry over into season two. It's just, you know, establishing the story that they want to do and all that. So I imagine it'll get picked up as well. And
go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, didn't Twisted Metal get a season two? So if that got a season two.
Yes.
I mean, I like that show. I like that show more than The Last of Us, but I know I'm in the minority. So if that show can get a season two, then maybe this one can too.
I imagine.
I like Twisted Metal.
I never even watched it.
You need to.
I just don't, you know.
Logan, it stars the man who loses a rap battle to Eminem in 8 Mile. It's a great movie or great show.
That's true. I was going to say it's got Samoa Joe in it.
It's a great.
Oh,
yeah. Good segue there. Yeah. Samoa Joe, wrestling. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we are going to Matt and Ricky have both been playing WWE 2K24. We're going to give our review in progress of that game, talk about what all has changed from this entry to the previous one. And yeah, be sure to come back and join us here in a moment for that conversation. All right, boys, wrestling time. Video game wrestling time. WWE 2K24 has launched. Is it out this week right now, or do we just have?
Yeah, it's out.
Okay,
it's
I thought it was out. You two have been playing it. Before, I just gotta say this real fast. I like where they're releasing these games now, which is in the lead up to WrestleMania. It's kind of like how MLB drops its games like right before the baseball season, or Madden drops right before the NFL season. They drop this right before WrestleMania, which I think is like the perfect time, because they used to always do this, I feel like, in like a fall window when it was just kind of like, I don't know, there was no like general wrestling hype. This makes 10 times more sense for it to come out in proximity to WrestleMania. Matt, let's go to you first, because you are one of our wrestling guys at the site. How are you feeling about this year's game? What do you think about, what are the big changes? I mean, you just, what's standing out to you the most after having played this now for a bit for yourself?
You know, I was really high on 2K23. And, you know, going into 2K24, it was kind of like you saw the updates and changes on the page, and you were like, okay, like there's some, you know, there's some new match types coming. We're going to make some quality of life changes here and there. Obviously, the 40 years of WrestleMania showcase mode. So like it looked like it was solid on paper, and I didn't know exactly like if it would kind of end up, I gave 2K23 a really high score. I didn't know if it would kind of finish that off and get the full, you know, five, right? If it was enough, if there was going to be enough new content there. And thankfully, I feel like the new content is great, but it's going to stay at the same, it's kind of at the same level, because there's some other little things that have kind of drawn back. And so like it kind of comes out in the wash. I imagine some of those will probably get improved as patches and things come along the way. But I mean, so far the actual gameplay, the in-ring stuff, I adore. I really enjoyed it in 23. They've made some changes to it, some small, some that seem small, but as you play more, become more, it kind of become a bigger deal. Like the stamina system has been slightly tweaked to where your wrestlers actually do tire out, your superstars, I should say, do tire out in a match more than they did previously. So you do actually have to kind of pay attention to, oh, hey, should I do this move? I can't just go running around the ring, you know, full arcade mode constantly, because my guy's going to literally not be able to do that. Having super, you know, finishers and having that extra layer of a super finisher does mean that like you can't kick out. If someone is able to pull that off and that requires three bars of your finisher, then that means like you're done, right? But it takes a while to get there. So there's more systems in the ring that have been tweaked, and while they're small things, they do have a bigger impact the more you play. And also those smaller things, right? Like throwing weapons seems like a thing that like on paper, I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. That is ridiculously fun. And it makes like the weapons matches become all the better when you're able to just literally chuck a trash can or chuck a chair across the ring at someone. And they also serve a purpose, right? It actually keeps like in triple threats and fatal four ways, it's like almost integral that you actually add that to your arsenal, because it keeps people away from you and it keeps them knocked down. So maybe you can get a pin or whatever. Like, it actually becomes a part of strategy as well as being absurdly fun. So a lot of the small changes I'm really enjoying. It's just there are some bugs that were surprising because they weren't there for me in 2K23. I can't blame one thing on 2K, because it might have been my PS5 had like a random, you know, like just had a random, like, I don't know what happened, and it like shut off like mid game, right? I think it might have overheated. So like I lost like all my faction.
Oh no.
Stuff.
It deleted like, entirely?
Oh no.
And I had, like, it was all gone. So like I had to then restart and do the whole thing over. And I was like, oh, but I can't blame that on 2K, because that might have just been my PS5. So I'm not going to say that's a bug, but it was, you know, a negative for me. But there's just some other kind of graphical things that are odd, like some wrestlers and their entrances, like the likeness is really good, but like there's just some weird like graphical things of like when, like Bianca Belair, for instance, great model, great entrance, but like weird things like when she's like flipping her braid, it doesn't look like the braid is in her hand. And it was like that stuff has changed from last year, because I don't ever remember noticing that. It's small things like clothing going through a leg or whatever. It's just, and it feels odd because they had refined that and ironed a lot of that out in 2K23. So just little things like that kind of pulled back. You know, I'll shut up for a minute.
Well,
so
to jump in real quick, a wrestler has joined our podcast to talk about wrestling video games. Brandon, hi. Welcome to Quick
Stage. What's up, guys?
Wow, what's up, man?
I started playing WWE 2K pretty... I haven't actually played a single match yet. No, that's a lie. I played one match at like the middle of the night last night, because I've spent the past 2 days building a wrestler, building a superstar. And I also, Matt, I was listening to what you just said, and it crashes. It does. Like, the game straight up crashes several times and doesn't save some of the stuff. Like, I tried to do the 2K thing where you import like a picture of yourself to put on the superstar.
Oh,
and
yes.
Every time I try to get to that, the game just closes out completely, sends me to my Xbox Series X homepage. So I'm on Xbox, you're on PlayStation. That does seem to be pretty across platforms that there's that issue. But the customization options are insane. When you build, I guess this might not be new to the game, but it's new to me because I haven't played any of the WWE 2K games before. Man, I've spent hours building movesets, building an appearance. It's fun, man.
I saw Chris Killian posting like some of the characters that he had been creating. He's been creating a little thread over there on Twitter or X, whatever we want to call it. And he's got some good ones. I think one of the ones he says that he makes annually is like a record producer turned pro wrestler or whatever that he calls Platinum Philip Diamond III or something. And yeah, like I have never played these games either, but it seems like the create a character stuff is getting like drastically better with each new iteration. And it does kind of have me interested in jumping in. Ricky, where are you at? We still haven't given us like your own top down views.
These games are not made for me, which is perfectly fine. I am, you know, there's a lot of people who point to like NWO 97, I think is the one everyone loves from N64, of like the, you know, that's like the gold standard. For me, the gold standard of wrestling games is SmackDown versus Raw 2007. And the reason for that is that's when the GM mode was good. And that's like not quite the peak of when you could, you know, have the universe stuff where you could like write your own storylines, and video game championship wrestling was running wild, but pretty close to it. So that era from like 07 to 2011, 2012 maybe is like when I liked it. And all that stuff is gone. I mean, GM mode is there. And I know a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people like this GM mode. Until we add writers back, I'm not interested. Like, I want to be the person who is remaking, like making the WWE in my image. And that means I want to have the option to like add my own storylines. Like, I want all that stuff. The in-ring stuff is what it is. I think it is relatively fun. I like the showcase mode quite a bit. Although I don't really understand why we went back to it after, you know, we did this in 2K14 or whatever, when we did 30 years of WrestleMania. I guess it's been 10 more years. Maybe that's the reason, but
I was going to say, it's been 10 more years.
I would like to dive into something new, I guess. But that's just me. Anyways, I think the in-ring stuff is, you know, fun, but it's not what I come to these games for. It never has been, you know, because SmackDown versus Raw games were not that great in the ring, and they're still, you know, in my opinion, the best games. But that, you know, again, just like saying I like Twisted Metal more than The Last of Us as far as a TV show, you know, I'm weird. I know I'm in the minority, but you know, that's just how I feel.
You're not in the minority though, because quite literally before I set you up for that question, I almost asked directly, is this game better than SmackDown versus Raw 2007?
No.
So it's hilarious that you called that game out in particular, because that's my favorite as well.
Yeah.
I think the real question is it better than WWF No Mercy?
No Mercy is one of the other big ones that I was thinking of when Ricky talked about some of the, like, old games in the series. It's funny though, like,
well, there's a new version of that. It's AEW Fight Forever. Don't you love Fight Forever?
I can't say I've dabbled with the AEW game.
That's the new version of that, I heard. Well, I have not heard. I don't know about that.
I think the funny thing about wrestling games to me is, like, there's such a long lineage, like 20, 30, 35 years history worth of wrestling games that have come out at this point. And so, like, no matter what happened, like, no matter how good one of the newest entries is, like, there's always going to be people saying, like, well, it's not as good as what they did in this game from 17 years ago, you know? Like, there's always people wanting to, like, pick and choose all of these different modes and aspects of the different titles and, like, create this ultimate wrestling game. And it's just never going to happen. Like, I feel like the 2K series, though, here is at least, like, in a better place than it was a couple of years ago, like, when it was so bad that they had to take a break.
It's hard to get worse.
They switched developers. Like, that was when the whole juke swap happened, right? And then they went on to make the AEW game.
And then you made
went to make the AEW game.
It's funny though, you mentioned the, like, everyone wants their own thing, and I think that's great, actually, because everyone has their favorite, right? But, like, it makes total sense that Ricky doesn't jive with this GM, because when he's describing what he loved about that version, that makes all the sense in the world. Like, this version is not, you know, tackling, it really is kind of more tackling build your brand and investing in the whole Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT thing, as opposed to, like, creating your own WWE. And I think a lot of people would actually like to see it get there. I think at some point people would like to either see that be its, and that's what they've also kind of tried to make, like, universe mode, but, like, they keep not really focusing on that and building those features out, so they don't really have one. So, like, it makes total sense that that whole part is really missing from my GM. I really love my GM, but I like it because I like to run my show. It just flat out doesn't have those other things that, like, those games had. So, like, it makes total sense why one wouldn't, you know, connect with the other. But I still love that those games are there.
Let me ask you a question real quick, Matt. If it sounds like this might be per person, the answer will be different, but I'm just starting the game. I built a superstar. I've wrestled one match. I lost to Roman Reigns last night. He's still, his reign is continuing.
Of course, acknowledge him.
But so we put our ones up. If I'm going to start playing this game, what mode? Like, because it seems like there's different. I know very little about WWE 2K24. I bought it because I've seen you guys hyping it up. I'm having a good time with building out our superstar and starting up. What mode is, like, what should be the go-to mode to get started in this game to have the best time, you think?
Oh, man, that's okay. Number one, if I give you my answer, a bunch of people will hate it because I love my fashion.
Wow.
People hate
okay. You're the first person I've heard say that.
Little, but wow. I love it. Yeah, I adore it. But it's like the people who love it, love it. A bunch of people see it as a, you know, essentially a way for 2K to make money, and it is. Those modes in, like, NBA and things like that have, you know, been notorious for, like, you know, microtransactions. I think my faction doesn't feel that way. I've played NBA and I understand, like, that whole thing totally does at times. I played my faction all for 2K23. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I never spent a penny. And what it does, my whole thing about that mode is that because you're unlocking cards, and those cards are the wrestlers mm-hmm. you're getting, you have to make up a team to go through all these towers and there's like a whole training ground and all these other modes to play in, but it makes you play as wrestlers that you wouldn't necessarily pick because those are the cards you have. So like you'll have seven cards, you'll have seven superstars. You have to pick from them to form a four superstar group. It makes you play people that you would never play. And in 2K23, I discovered like a bunch of wrestlers that I knew, but I never really played as. And I had some favorites that I've now gone back to because I learned their moveset. Superstars feel different in these games. Like they've done a really good job over the last like 3 years of making people feel individual. Baron Corbin does not feel like Braun Breaker. Becky Lynch does not feel like Bianca Belair. They don't have, you know, two different moves and then everything else is the same. They feel different. And so when you're playing as them, my faction makes you do that because you don't have access to the entire roster.
That's cool.
If you want to do created,
yeah,
my rise is great.
Okay.
But you know, if you want to create your superstar, because those make you create a superstar at the beginning and then take them through a story. If you're looking for a story mode, especially one with Roman Reigns, the Undisputed story is all Roman Reigns centric. That's when you can create your superstar and then you go through a story.
That's what I'm doing for sure. That's the one I'm in.
People hate.
I partially got this game because I heard the customization was awesome and like I'm learning wrestling moves from it. I'm like just seeing new stuff and I'm like, dude, this is cool. But then I remember the warning at when you open the game and it's like, don't try this at home. And I'm like, I shouldn't say that because they'll be mad that I'm gonna go try this stuff. But that sounds like the one I'm gonna play that last. Factions sounds pretty cool, but it's my ADD probably won't let me actually build it out because it's like almost RPG looking. With so many of the cards and the like little things you put in there. I dabbled with it last night a little bit, but thank you for letting me.
I have one last question here for either Matt or Ricky. And it's just about like Cody's section of this game. Does he have his own, like his own specific like matches and stuff in his own career arc in this? Like I know that they did a couple years ago with Rey Mysterio. Is that in this game? Because I know that what was the mode that they had Rey in the game from
Is he in showcase mode? Yeah,
Was that showcase? Do they have the same sort of thing here with Cody this time?
Is he in it at all? Because it's 40 years of WrestleMania. That's why I said that earlier.
That's what the showcase mode is. Okay, yeah.
But is he in it? I haven't finished it.
He is in.
But I assume he's okay.
I haven't finished it either. But I'm almost positive 39. I'm almost positive 39's in there.
And then they'll eventually add Cody. Potentially finishing the story in 4 weeks as DLC in a month.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Damn,
I wrestled at SoFi last night. 39 was indeed in there.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Because Rhea is in there versus Charlotte. So, yeah, why wouldn't they also put
Cody? Oh, yeah.
Now, what they do have, which I love, is the... I don't know which version you got, Brandon, one that has the Cody pack. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I do love that Undashing.
I was
going to
ask if Dashing Cody Rhodes was in
it.
That's funny. That's cool.
That's the best version of Cody.
Yeah,
by far better than American Nightmare.
Also, Torn Peck action figure Cody is kind of a delight to play with, and he's like one of my favorites. Dusty is in that pack, and Dusty has become one of my favorite people to play as cool. in this game. So.
Is Stardust in there?
He is.
Of course he is. That's amazing.
Much to Cody's Poor chagrin, Pella. But I know he did finally go like, all right, go ahead.
There was that one promo where he had all the toys in. And he like moved the Stardust action figure out of the way. That was great stuff. He's got to just have fun with it at this point. It's part of your history, bro.
Cody's awesome, man. He's got to finish the story. Finish it. Make it happen. I need to buy a shirt.
I need Roman to retire. I mean, that can be how we close this out. I know this is not associated with video games, but does everybody want Cody to win at Mania this coming month? I don't want him to win. I don't want Roman to drop the belt to Cody. I think it's so, this is a whole different rant. I think it's so lame that they're running back last year's main event. Potentially, I mean, obviously
Logan,
stuff to be.
That's a Cody crybaby.
He is a Cody crybaby.
Oh, 100%. Take your Versace sleeveless 90s jokes away, Mr. Rock, please. Like, go, we please. Go somewhere with that mess. I don't need it.
I mean, there's going to be shenanigans leading up to Mania, and Rock might get involved with the main. Like, who knows what's going to happen? But I feel like Cody's going to win, but I don't want him to. Like, I just...
That's how I felt going to 39, though. I thought 39, it was like, this is too easy. Mm-hmm. Because if you're a wrestling fan, like, if you're a wrestling fan, you know Cody's story and you know it wasn't easy. But if you're merely, if you're a WWE fan, you're not really familiar with Cody's impact on the business, how he launched AEW, everything he did to get back to that point. Coming in at 30 at Royal Rumble, the injury really set it back, I think. And I think maybe had he not got injured, they might have pulled the trigger because it would have been a more meaningful payoff, I think. But it was so quick that they couldn't do it at 39. But now I'm like, man, I did want Rock and Roman. I'm one of the people who wanted Rock and Roman.
I wanted it too.
I wanted it.
The reason I bought my Mania, I bought my Mania tickets because I wanted to see Rock and Roman. I'm going to Dallas tomorrow just because I want to see The Rock in a WWE ring. And I'm not a Cody Coin baby. And the best Seth Rollins could come up with was Diarrhea Dwayne. Come on.
Have you seen some of the Rocks he called?
Yeah.
The dude brought up cocaine and meth in the ring during a promo last time.
In Phoenix.
Oh my God. Hey, they can start doing that stuff more when they get with Netflix next year. They can go back to the
take your stupid Photoshop bloodline tree and go burn that, please. No one cares.
Hey, we care about the environment. We care about the environment. We're not burning any trees down.
At the end of the day, I've just wanted Roman to drop the belt to like an up and comer. Like they have the chance to catapult somebody to like superstardom by him dropping the belt to a guy like Cody's already a top guy, like
Sami Zayn. Back at last year would have been amazing.
They've had so many chances to like turn like a burgeoning star into a superstar by having Roman drop the belt to them, and like that's what I have wanted to see them do. Cody doesn't need it. Like I get that he does to do the whole finish the story thing.
Oh, but he does. He did though, because everybody and their brother last year was saying, "Oh, well, you know, if he wins, like, you know, like." As he earned it, as he done this, like it'll be too, like we all know what's going to happen and he's not as over as he thinks, all that stuff. This year, there is literally no question that Cody Rhodes, aside from Roman Reigns, is the biggest star in WWE. No one else gets the reaction. They don't boo the Rock. For
you're
anyone
sleeping on
else.
CM Punk, I will say.
And also, well, CM Fragile Punk.
You have to, because he's hurt all the time. What else do you want?
The thing about Roman holding that belt, though, is that, yes, you could use it as that one time to put somebody on an insane trajectory if they are the person to dethrone Roman Reigns. But look at everything Roman having that belt has done for other superstars along the way. LA Knight, Logan Paul, Sami Zayn, all these guys, Jey Uso. So many people have been catapulted into being over because they got an opportunity. Drew McIntyre back at Clash at the Castle, who is now doing phenomenal heel work, but that belt had like the thought of anybody getting a crack at dethroning him has put people over the moon just at getting a shot at it. So him retaining has, granted, I wish he would work a little bit more, but it has made bigger stars out of other guys without them having to beat him. And now this whole thing with The Rock and all that has made Cody the biggest babyface in like ever. I mean, the way this has blown up is, if this is a work, if it was planned all along, which I don't believe it was, it is the most incredible work of all time. But it's also, then you have to give them credit for the pivot to handling the backlash of when The Rock came out and everybody's sleeping on. Listen, I know you guys talk wrestling and I could go all day with this. I'm sorry, but I think Seth is the one y'all can be concerned with turning on Cody more than anything else. That man is a snake. He's a visionary. He's a revolutionary. He's a snake.
I mean, it's not like he hasn't done it.
I'm saying, he said, I could be your shield. What happened last time he was somebody's shield? Well, bam.
It would be very funny if they win the tag match or whatever on night one, prevent the bloodline from coming out, and then he turns on Cody night two and prevents him from getting the belt against Roman. I would like that. I would be a fan of that. Mm-hmm. It's better for a heel to hold the belt than it is for a face. If Cody does win, I hope he drops it within like 3 months. So. But we'll see. That's going to do it for Quick Save today. Thank you for listening to our 5 to 10 minute rant here at the end about things that aren't video game related. We will be back here again in the future. Until that time, you can check out all of our other shows here as part of Comic Book Nation. You can check out The Pull List, which is about weekly comic book releases. We've got our main show with Matt and Kofi on Fridays. And then we will potentially be back here next week. You guys are still doing the Halo recaps as well. So those should be going up if you've been watching Halo Season 2 as it has been releasing this year. And I know that we are going to come back here shortly with Invincible recaps as well. Kofi and I were talking about those yesterday, so we will be returning with those here in the next week or two, or whenever that show comes back. I think it's next week. So until that time, Ricky, thank you for joining.
Thanks.
Matt, thank you for joining. BD, thank you for hopping in here as well. Spur of the moment.
Thanks for the invite.
So we'll be back here soon. And until then, everybody take care. Bye-bye.